This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good morning. I'm Dan Martisol, Commissioner for the Department of Corrections and Community Supervision, and I'm here today to talk about the ongoing illegal strike. As you know, on February 17th, an illegal strike began with two correctional facilities that quickly spread across the state, impacting 38 of the 42 correctional facilities. In response to the emergency, Governor Hochul signed an executive order, which, among other things, activated the National Guard, who began deployment to our facilities. I want to take a minute to thank the National Guard for all they're doing to assist during this crisis, as well as the men and women who remain working for DOCS inside of our facilities during this challenging time. We immediately began, as a result of the illegal strike, to work with the unions in identifying pathways to return our employees to work. Unfortunately, that was unsuccessful, and recognizing the hard work the men and women do across the state and the difficult jobs of our correction officers, we agreed to enter into mediation with an independent mediator to get a better understanding for the issues surrounding what our staff were saying, both on the line and through their union representatives. One of the focuses was really to move away from having staff work 24-hour shifts and provide a healthier and safer work environment. Some of the concerns that were raised by staff through the mediation process, while legitimate, fell outside of the mediation scope because it impacted laws that we had no ability to change. After a number of days of mediation, the independent mediator issued a consent award, binding on both parties, but predicated on staff returning to duty so we could then move forward with signing that award. The consent award touches on a number of aspects, but really focuses on the health, well-being, and safety of the workforce, with much more work to continue once staff return to duty. Upon issuance, the state leveraged a number of communication strategies, including robocalls, setting up websites, using our social media platform to push out the message of the contents of the consent award, as well as the impact of continuing to engage in the illegal strike. While the consent award is a good starting point to return people to work, it is only the beginning of having a continued conversation with the frontline staff who come to work every day in our correctional facilities. Since the issuance of the award, we've had staff return to duty, and we've resulted in reducing the number of facilities that are currently participating in the strike from 38 to 32. Those facilities that are no longer on strike are Greenhaven, Fishkill, Shawangunk, Hudson, Taconic, and Sing Sing. We thank those staff returning to the workforce. However, a large number of staff across the state continue to remain on strike, with more staff returning to duty each and every day, but it's not allowing for us to implement the consent award and continue our ongoing dialogue. Since the beginning of the strike, I have traveled across the state and had an opportunity to speak with frontline correction officers to hear directly from them what's concerning them, what specific safety concerns they've had, and how do we move forward in a path to have a safer work environment. Since that time, I've been able to issue additional policies outside of the mediation agreement that is going to continue to draw safer prisons and hopefully return staff to the workforce. Correction officers have a difficult job, let alone being understaffed. I see firsthand the impact it's had on correction officers and their families, and I want to make sure that we continue to have this conversation as they play a vital role in public safety to this state. In order to continue this dialogue, though, we really need our staff to return to the workforce so we can operate safe facilities and provide safety to the surrounding communities. We will continue this dialogue, and I know together I am committed to making change to make our facility safer and provide a work-life balance for the hardworking men and women that report to our facilities each and every day. They've been heard, and I'm committed that together we can make a safer prison system.
Thank you, Commissioner Martisello. My name is Jackie Bray. I'm the Commissioner of Homeland Security and Emergency Services. I want to take everyone through a detailed timeline of the last 14 days and then talk through the further actions that the state is forced to take today. This strike started on Tuesday, February 17th, and it grew between the 17th and the 19th. Governor Hochul issued an executive order mobilizing the National Guard into our prisons on the 18th. And the Erie County Supreme Court issued a temporary restraining order ordering our corrections officers and sergeants back to work on the 19th. On the 20th, Commissioner Martisello issued a memo offering anyone on the line amnesty to return to work, rescinding a staffing memo that predated the strike, and offering other important measures to put the prison system back in normal operations. On the 19th, we also agreed to mediation with an independent mediator. We began mediation in earnest on the 24th. And on the night of the 27th, the mediator issued a consent award that, as Commissioner Martisello said, would go into effect once corrections officers and sergeants returned to work, addressing many, although not all, of the concerns. The concerns that were left unaddressed were unable to be addressed at the negotiating table. Before the award was issued, the state began communicating directly with corrections officers and sergeants to make sure that our workforce understood what sanctions could come when remaining engaged in this illegal strike. That communication began on Tuesday the 25th and continued throughout Tuesday through yesterday in the form of robocalls, text messages, and a website that the state posted on Friday detailing the consent award and detailing potential sanctions. Yesterday, we began termination of corrections officers. Today, we will be terminating health insurance for corrections officers who have been AWOL and their dependents. None of these actions we take lightly. We have tried at every turn to get people back to work without taking these actions. I want to be clear about what authority we have to take these actions. Under Civil Service Law 210, otherwise known as the Taylor Law, striking is absolutely illegal for employees and unions that are covered under that law. That's because our corrections officers, like many of our public sector public safety staff, are essential employees, and their showing up for work is essential for the safety of the state. When a violation of the Taylor Law occurs, the chief legal officer of the state, in this case the Attorney General, can seek contempt for those in violation, which she has done. And we are back in court with the Attorney General today to further that work. In addition, the termination of corrections officers that began yesterday, we are taking under Article 14.10 of the current contract. That article provides that individuals on unauthorized absence are deemed resigned if they are absent for 10 workdays and don't provide an excuse satisfactory to management or explain their absence by the end of the 11th workday. All absences due to the strike have been deemed unauthorized absences. I also want to take a minute to talk about the resources that Governor Hochul has deployed to keep the corrections officers and sergeants who continued to work, to keep the communities that our facilities are in and incarcerated individuals safe. As we said, on the 18th, Governor Hochul mobilized the National Guard. We have mobilized over 7,000 of our Guard men and women across the state, and we've had over 5,300 Guard men and women, boots on the ground, in our facilities. To date, the state has spent approximately $25 million in response to the strike. And we estimate that if the strike were to continue, we'd be spending approximately $106 million a month. The Taylor Law fines, the Taylor Law provides for both sanction in terms of detention and fines equal to what the state is spending to respond to the illegal action. I want to thank the National Guard deeply for their service. I want to thank the corrections officers and the sergeants and the lieutenants and the civilian staff in the facilities who have continued to work. We want to encourage the corrections officers and the sergeants who haven't come back yet to come back. We don't want to take these actions. We want to give you the opportunity to return. I also want to say that there's been a tremendous amount of misinformation, and so that we hope that reporting can help dispel the myths that are out there. We've posted a website, ny.gov/mediator award, to make sure that people can hear directly the truth, not only from us, but also from the independent mediator. And we'll take questions.
Time for the Q&A. Please raise your hand and we will call on you if you want to ask a question. We'll give you folks a moment. All right, our first question comes from the Times Union and Brendan Lyons. Brendan, we'll unmute your microphone.
Good morning. I was wondering if you had a figure on the number of officers who have received in the last, 2 days or so, termination notices and also the resignation notices. And also, in a follow-up, could you give us any new details or any details at all on the death of the 22-year-old inmate at Mid-State over the weekend?
We don't have numbers for you this morning on resignations. In terms of terminations, we have only at this point terminated a handful, less than 10, corrections officers. These are officers who have been AWOL for 10 days in a row on their work days and then missed that 11th shift. That will continue to evolve over the next several days. Today, we're taking the further action to terminate health insurance for thousands of corrections officers, but we'll have more to say about future terminations after today.
With regards to the death of the individual at Mid-State Correctional Facility, first, I'd like to say that any death in custody is certainly a tragedy. But upon immediately learning of the death of the individual, we made a referral to an independent investigation by the Attorney General's office and the state police, as well as placed staff involved in the incident on administrative leave. Due to that ongoing investigation, I have no further comments at this time.
Our next question comes from Alex Galt in Johnson Newspapers.
Hi, thank you for doing this. I wanted to ask, when it comes to the deployment of National Guard troops to facilities, can you say how many facilities the National Guard is currently deployed to? And how long do you anticipate relying on troops from the Army National Guard to enhance security at prisons?
Yeah, absolutely. So at the height of the strike, the National Guard was deployed to 41 facilities. That is a moving and fluid target, given that we are successfully getting facilities back. And again, big thanks to those staff who have come back and have allowed us to take facilities off of strike. So 41 at most. We can follow up and get you the exact number today. And Alex, I'm blanking on your second question. Oh, how long? So listen, our continuity of operations for a event like this is to leave the National Guard in place. And both Commissioner Marisol and myself have been to a number of facilities over the last 48 hours. The Guard is doing everything they can to continue to run those facilities professionally and safely. It is our sincere hope that this illegal strike ends and ends quickly, ends today, ends tomorrow. Let's get back to work. But the National Guard will stay for as long as we need the National Guard to stay. And right now they're doing a very good job.
Our next question comes from Adam Francis.
Commissioner Bray and Commissioner Marcel, it's actually Ed Dranch from Channel 7 in Buffalo. A couple of follow-up questions. Commissioner Bray, you mentioned that the Attorney General can seek contempt for those in violation and that you're back in court today for further work. Are you suggesting that some of these CEOs have been arrested and that they could be arrested today if they don't get back to work? And then Commissioner Marticello, some issues fell outside of the mediation scope. Are you talking about HALT Act? And why can't the governor just, by executive order, suspend the HALT Act? And then I guess a third question here, give me an idea about the National Guard being inside his facilities, untrained, some young staffers who frankly wouldn't be able to be in there if they were hired by docs. These people are working under extreme conditions but have zero training.
All right, we're going to go one at a time, Ed, and we might ask you to repeat the last one you had. So in terms of the Attorney General and in terms of any actions to detain corrections officers, we have not arrested any corrections officers to date. We have over 350 of the corrections officers named specifically in the civil action. The Attorney General is Attorney General's office is at a hearing this morning in an effort to begin civil contempt proceedings for those named officers. We would expect that to play out over the next several days before anyone was detained.
Yeah, in terms of your other question, as it pertains to items outside of the scope, one of those was HALT. As you've seen in the consent award, we did address HALT in two ways, one with a 90-day suspension under the authority granted to me within the law, and then a circuit breaker whereby we will use staffing in the facility in order to determine whether it's safe to operate or if there's a facility-wide emergency. That's within my current authority under the law, as was granted by the legislature. In terms of repealing the law or making specific changes on terms of what conduct constitutes being able to be placed in a special housing unit or restricted housing, those are things that I have no ability to change. That would require the legislature to do so. In terms of the executive order, as you know, the legislature can override an executive order with 50% plus one. So therefore, there's really no change that we can immediately make to the HALT Act other than to go to the legislature to make changes. As it pertains to the National Guard, as they began to deploy into our facilities, the correction officers that remained on duty, they worked very closely and partnered with them. And as they gained more and more comfort level, received training inside of the institution by our seasoned officers, they were then able to expand the duties that they were assigned. And they're doing a great job collaborating with the staff that are inside remaining, as well as the National Guard, to allow us to operate safe facilities.
Commissioner Bray, if I may, some people are also reaching out to our newsroom asking about the people who are on FMLA right now being forced to come back and risking termination. Some people are out having surgery. Some people are having babies. There is concern that they are going to lose their job because you have, and by you, I mean the state, has instituted this harsh penalty for those people. They're being called back.
Well, let me first say that this has been an illegal action that has now lasted 14 days, and we have taken steps every day of those 14 days to not have to get here. We have negotiated in good faith at the mediation table across a broad range of topics, going as far as we can legally go. And in addition, over the last couple days, as Commissioner Marticello heard directly from COs, he has issued further guidance clarifying existing policy to make sure that everyone across our facilities understand that they do have authority today to take certain actions that would increase the safety of our facilities. So we are doing everything we can to avoid this type of penalty. In terms of folks on FMLA or workers' comp or bereavement leave, everyone was ordered back to work because of the illegal action and because of the safety conditions that that illegal action created. In the consent award, the commissioner has agreed that anyone on FMLA, anyone on workers' comp, anyone who was ordered back to work but had a valid reason that they had to remain out or would have to come in and then go back out, We would deal with those on a case-by-case basis in an expedited way, and we would make sure that people who legitimately couldn't work weren't penalized. For example, on Saturday, Commissioner Marticello and I were in a couple facilities. Some people had come back because they received the notice that they had to come back or face termination of their health insurance. For a couple people, Commissioner Marticello took one look at a couple people, a cast, a sling, and said, "What's your name? We got you. Go home. We don't want to put anyone, we don't want to paint solely with a broad brush here. But we have taken all the actions that we can take. So as part of the consent award, if everybody comes back, the folks that have been legitimately out on that type of leave will be dealt with on a one-on-one basis and will not be penalized. But folks need to come back to work."
Our next question comes from Benny Nizaj, WPTZ.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. I just wanted to ask about visitation. Is it still suspended at state correctional facilities? And how long do you anticipate that will still be?
Yes, visitation is currently suspended statewide. As facilities come back online, we'll do an individualized assessment to see when we could reopen visitation.
And our last question comes from Andrew Donovan and Channel 9.
Good morning to you both. Thank you for this opportunity and making yourselves available. A question for each of you. Commissioner Bray, what is the long-term plan if a large number of corrections officers don't come back? How do you fill the void? You can't have the National Guard in there indefinitely, I would imagine. And then for the docs commissioner, another question about the mid-state correctional death. The New York Times is drawing parallels to the Robert Brooks death in terms of corrections officers beating this individual. It's a sensitive time now, so I'm hoping you can use this moment to talk about what did or didn't happen to the best of your knowledge now, obviously respecting the ongoing investigation. Thank you.
Yeah, let me address the second question first. As I indicated, we've made referrals to outside independent investigators with the Attorney General and the State Police. We need to let that process play out. In the interim, we have placed staff on administrative leave, and we have to wait for the investigation to unfold.
On our long-term plan, let me say that there is no better National Guard than the New York National Guard. They are a large force, they are a robust force, they have very good leadership, and they have very good soldiers. And they've been doing a phenomenal job, and I have no question in my mind that they can continue to do a good and a safe job as we work to bring the strike to a close. No matter when this ends or how this ends, our long-term plan must be to recruit more corrections officers because our facilities run safer when we're fully staffed. And unfortunately, it has been exceedingly hard, even before the pandemic, but really accelerated by the pandemic and after the pandemic, to remain fully staffed. That's one of the reasons why this consent award included important things to help incentivize staffing. For example, the state agreed to an up to $3,000 referral bonus for any DOCS employee, any corrections officer who is able to recruit a non-DOCS employee to join the team. It's also why we agreed in the consent award to expedite the review of a new review of the petition to increase the grade levels for corrections officers. We've got to do a lot of work in order to recruit more corrections officers. We're committed to doing that work. That work can't really begin in earnest until folks return to work and we end the strike.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.